Morning. Will, turn your song books to 539. 539. Sing the first two and last verse, please.
Oh, they tell me of a home far beyond the skies. Oh, they tell me of a home far away.
Mighty Father, which art in heaven, we thank you so much, Father, for this beautiful Lord's Day, the beautiful weather and getting cooler and just refreshing. We thank you, God. We thank you for the ones who've come this morning. We pray we'll grow in number, that the church here in New Lex will survive and be here in the future. A lot of work to do, God, and we pray you'll help us. Give us wisdom, knowledge, and know what to do and say to people and teach them and guide them. God, we pray that you'll be of Dave Hall, who is getting along better. Be of him and help him continue to get better and stronger and be able to be back here with us. Be of Rosie, his wife, and help her be strong. We pray for all the sick, Father, that you'll be with them and help them get well. Be of the Lanning family who've lost a loved one this past week. Be of Jim as he brings forth lessons this morning as he has studied, and help him have a knowledge of your word and help us learn from it. God, we ask you if there's anyone here who needs to become a Christian, be baptized into Christ, and they will have that desire this day before it's too late. And we pray that we'll teach others the gospel in this community. Thank you for our visitors. We ask this in Christ's name. Please forgive us. In Christ's name, amen. Please be seated. Please turn to 532. 532. After this song, we'll turn over to Jim. In this invitation song, I changed it to 602. Jim would like this song sang for invitation. 602.
Faith, faith, earthly joy, Jesus is mine. Break every tender tie, Jesus is mine. Dark is the wilderness, earth has no resting place, Jesus. is mine.
Singing it, at least. I'm thankful for Tom for leading it. I'm going to make sure I turn this on. My voice is still not where I would sure love to have it, but we'll do the best we can this morning. Picking up? Oh, yes. Maybe too loud. See if I can get this on. I'm putting this microphone on so I could be heard this morning. And it's wonderful to have the technology, but then again, it ties you down in so many ways, too. And concerned this morning how this works. I don't know why this does it, but at home, this works differently than it does up here once it's hooked up. So there's something there, something about a stage manager that I'm going to have to learn about and see why it works different that way. Glad you're out this morning. It looks like we're down a little bit, but we're glad to have you here, that you're glad you're able to be out. We want to keep in mind those that aren't doing well and aren't able to be here. About 3 months ago, I spoke about lessons from Noah's Ark. We got about half of those, and I would like to finish the rest of the lessons on that today. This came from, as I mentioned a few months ago, from an article in House to House a few years ago. Ernie gave this to me probably 2 or 3 years ago. And there was a little article in the back page of the House to House about lessons from Noah. And it was kind of written with tongue-in-cheek, some humor with it, but it had some good lessons. And I messed around with that for a couple of years doing these things with it. It's mostly what those people wrote there. And the article was only about 100 words, I would say. But there's a lot of lessons to be learned from Noah. And he is mentioned quite a bit in the Bible, both in the Old and New Testament. So God was pleased with Noah. And I think if you look at it from what's said, it's very simple why God was pleased on that. I'll try to look at a couple things we looked at the last time here at the beginning. And then I'm going to jump through that real quickly. I'll kind of go brush over it quickly, but I don't want to spend too much time from what we'd done a few months ago and go to the new things and keep conscious of the time this morning and try to keep that down within bounds. I remember when I first tried to speak when I was young and get up and try to speak 5 minutes and usually couldn't do it. Now it's the other way. I don't know what happens with old men anyway, but there's something happens there in between those times, and not nearly as nervous, still nervous, but not as nervous as I was when I was young. So those things happen to us, and those thinking about doing things like this, you just give it time, it will happen if you put your effort into it. This, if I didn't have Tom read a scripture this morning, if I would have had one read, this would be it. This is very simple with what happened with Noah. In Genesis, first book of the Bible, speaks about Noah. Thus Noah did, and that's what I want to dwell on here. Noah did. Now, what did he do? That's pretty simple, subject and a verb. Noah did.
according to all. That's a key word here. He didn't do some of it. Or he did say, oh, I don't believe that. He did all that God commanded him, so he did. I've heard some things on the internet lately talking about all you're interested in commandments, but if you ignore the commandments of God, what kind of thinking is that? Noah didn't ignore the commandments of God. He did them. So Noah did according to all that God commanded him, so he did. That's the whole lesson with Noah. That's what pleased God. If we go look on down to verse 1 here. Then the Lord said to Noah, come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me. There's the pop-up on there. So that would have been my scripture reading this morning. Now, here's Jesus speaking about Noah in the New Testament. And as it was in the days of Noah, Jesus is saying, well, back when Noah, he's going back to the Genesis, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. They ate. And this was going on back when Noah was alive. He was trying to preach righteousness to the people at that time. But they were going on. They were too busy. They were having a good time. They ate. They drank. They married wives. They were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. So that's something to keep in mind. That happened in the Old Testament. And there's supposed to be a judgment day coming. And this, we know that the earth will be destroyed by a fire, fervent heat. The first lesson was don't miss the boat. And like I say, I'm going to go over these very quickly. I just wanted to remind you of these first few things. For the scripture on that, we did Matthew 11:28. Second lesson, we all are in the same boat. And for that, we used Ephesians 1, verse 3. Ephesians 1, verse 3. I'm actually doing part of this for people that might listen to this at home on the internet. The third lesson was plan ahead. Noah did. You think about it, Noah had never seen it rain. He had no idea how to build that ark. Or I assume he didn't. He must have had some knowledge about building that ark. Why would you build the ark? It hadn't rained, and apparently he was on higher ground. It had never rained when Noah started building the ark. Ephesians 5 and 6, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Noah used his time wisely. Fourth lesson was stay fit. You never know when you will be needed. And we went to one of Paul's scriptures for that in 1 Corinthians. So that was 1 Corinthians 9, and starting at verse 26. 5, persevere. Endurance that Noah had. He stuck with the job till it was finished. So don't let critics stop a good work. Persevere. Again, from Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. 1 Corinthians 15:58. We spoke about that. And then finally, the last lesson we looked at about 3 months ago was consider how you were building. And for that, we looked at 1 Corinthians 3:10, and it talks about there's no other foundation but Jesus Christ. Many today, they're tampered with the Word of God, and we cannot do that. Our foundation is Jesus Christ. There's no other way to God except by Jesus Christ. And we need to accept that. Okay, I'd like to get down now to actually where I'm going to start with the new lessons. And I want to put this in a different mode here if I can. Hopefully that'll get bigger for you on this. So travel in pairs. I first thought this, and I think this was brought up. You can go back to the time of Noah and bringing animals in the ark. It was male and female, and I thought there's something to that. God's plan for the family, male and female. And this actually is getting to something else, and I changed this a little bit. because recently I heard about one of the biggest problems we're having right now in society after COVID and with older people is isolation. And we think about what goes on today. If you think of people that's been married 70 some years, they have lived together 70 some years. You think of Larry and Tricky, I think they were married 69 years before Tricky passed. My parents have been married 76 years. And that's not something that they want to even think about when they're separated after that many years. So isolation, according to psychiatrists, I just listened to a lecture on that last week. Isolation actually caused depression. But if you are a Christian, a child of God, you're really never alone. And that's what the point is getting at this lesson, travel in pairs. You've got someone with you. If you're thrown in a dungeon someplace and tortured, mistreated, there's somebody with you all the way if you're a Christian. So that's the point with this lesson. We'll go to Romans 8:35 and verse 37. Actually, this came from our lesson we had on Wednesday night about providence, God's providence. It tells us about being separated from the love of Christ. Paul asks this question in this letter. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? That's a question. That's something for each one of us to ask. Shall we let tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or the sword? As it is written, for your sake, we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Through Christ, we can be a conqueror, not defeated, not allowing this separation to happen. As we go on with the verse, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's quite a statement. I really like this verse. It's been a favorite of mine for a long time. As we learned Wednesday night when we were studying about providence, what does separate us from the love of Christ? There's only one person that can do that, you. You leave God. God doesn't leave you. Christ will be there with you. You leave him. He doesn't leave you. And what are you going to allow to do that? I've talked to people that have quit coming to church and they draw away from worshiping God and the church and meeting with the church. And they'll say something happened and they'll tell me this story of somebody that maybe mistreated them. One thing you have to keep in mind, Christ did not let you down. We are human. People sin in the church. And these things might happen to you, but don't let that draw you away from God. God didn't do anything. You want to keep with God. And it is a task of every one of us to love one another and to be able to apologize. And then it's also good to be able to forgive. Those are the things that make the church strong. And that's the lesson from this. God is always there, as we learned on Wednesday night with providence. He was there before this world was created. He'll be there after this world is gone. He'll always be with us. There's strength and harmony in diversity. This has to do, again, with us. We're all different. We all have different personalities, different ages. We're different in many different ways. That is what God knew would make the strongest church. Where we work to be unified, to work together on good things. So there is strength and harmony and diversity. I'll use Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 for this. Now therefore you are no longer strangers, this is talking about Christians, and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. That's what we want to be as a church, the household of God. Having built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. If you remember back to the lesson I did on God's spiritual house and how that was built from the foundation up, and this is a verse that's talking about our cornerstone is Jesus Christ. If you build a building, a physical building, that cornerstone is the most important thing in it. You'll usually see that at a large building, you'll see that cornerstone. Everything in that building comes off of that being accurate. So it has to be perfect. And we do have a perfect Savior, sinless. Ephesians 2:22 now, we'll continue with this verse or verses, in whom you also are being built together, that's us, the members of the church, being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. So that's a high calling. And that's something that we need to be working on. It takes every one of us our effort. If you remember back, this was the chart on that, on the lesson we did on that. The church is built on a solid foundation. That foundation is what Peter quoted about, that he knew that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. And Jesus said, I'll build my church. And that church is built on that fact that Jesus is the Son of God, built on that solid rock. Now, if you look down here, this is talking about the cornerstone on this. And that's right in this. The cornerstone would be right here. This is the apostles and prophets, the foundation of the church, Ephesians 2:20. Here the drawing that they've made of the church, here the physical drawing of a spiritual church. The truth is a roof here in 1 Timothy 3:15. If you don't have the truth in the church, then it's not going to be acceptable to God. Here it comes into us. Living stones. Christians in 1 Peter 2:5 are called living stones. Because it's a spiritual church, the stones actually are living. That's us. Something I think the artist did here, I think on purpose. If you look at all these stones, they are different shapes. They are different colors. And they're all different. But they make the very strongest wall. That's as strong as it possibly could be. And that's us. We're different. But put together, we're a force for good if we accept that and follow the teachings of Christ and the apostles. Now, to get in this building, you've got to go through Jesus. Jesus said, I am the door. That's John 10:9. And then the steps of becoming a Christian. And we'll look at those at the end here. When you're stressed, float a while. We know that Jesus himself rested at times. Because he was human, he wore out, and he did rest at times. Yet, we're going to face a lot of things in our life. And we can face them with Christ, as we just talked about there in the scripture. In James 1, 2, and 3, James talks about that, the stresses, the problems we go through in life. He said, my brethren, so he's talking about the Christians, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. That's not easy to do. What do we want to usually do? Start murmuring, complaining, oh, this is awful and that's awful. But James said, have an attitude of looking at this, that this is a trial. You're going to go through it. Go through it with God. And know that testing of your faith produces patience. You'll come out of it stronger and have learned something. Look for something good to come out of those trials. Lesson number 10, remember the ark was built by amateurs. We've heard this before, you know, it's built by amateurs. The Titanic was built by professionals. Most people will look for that. A lot of times I've had people say, do you have a Bible degree? No, I don't have a Bible degree, but I've studied it ever since I've been able to, before I could read. So I know something about the Bible, but no one's going to know it all. And Recently, I heard a lesson from a doctor, had his doctor degree in Bible, and I would be willing to talk with him about what he preached was not what the truth was. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 20, where is the wise? That's what, if we as people, as Christians, think we're going to outthink God, can we do that? No. The question's asked here by Paul, where is the scribe? And the scribes were the very educated people at this time in religion. Where is the disputer of this world? Those that argue these different things. These are maybe the ones that don't believe in God or are following some of their philosophy. Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? And we see that all the time with some of the things we have going on in our country right now. It's just foolishness. Finally, 11 here, the lesson from Noah. No matter the storm, with God, there's always a rainbow. That's something to keep in mind. And what can you do as a child of God to make things better about what is happening? In all that chaos that goes on in this world, things that happen, wherever it is, if you're there, do what you can to make things better. There's a rainbow. In Philippians 4:13, it says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notice you have to do it through Christ. And those things that we do the best we can. I think back, I was sick during the sermon you heard about David and Goliath by Charles Savage. And you think about just that and the providence of God with David, the little shepherd boy, teenager, not a soldier at all, goes up against a giant that the whole army of Israel was afraid of. Now, did God go in and choose the very strongest, best soldier there? No. He chose a little boy who had the heart and the skill to kill animals with a pebble and a sling and able to accomplish that. So we can't look that, oh, we want the people that have a doctor's degree is the only one that tells us what's in the Bible. We can understand those things. We do what we can as Christians. We do the best for God and we keep our hearts right in what we're doing. There's lessons from Noah in the New Testament, and I want to take a little time here to look at some of the things. Like I said, Noah's mentioned quite a bit in the Bible. And here's the book of Hebrew where Noah's mentioned. The writer here says, by faith. And that's an important point with Noah here, by faith. And you get this a little where we can look at that. That's what Noah is noted for, his faith. Being warned of God, things not seen as yet. Look how much faith that took since it hadn't rained yet when Noah was building that ark. What motivated him to do that? He was moved with fear because he believed God. He had that faith. So he was doing everything he could to prepare for that. And that's where I think we ought to look at Noah's example and follow that. Be prepared. He prepared an ark, and that was going to be able to save his house, his family, his sons and his daughter-in-laws and his wife, by the which he condemned the world. He was preaching all this time and nobody was listening. They were too busy doing other things, enjoying life. He preached to them righteousness. They didn't listen, which unfortunately happens. And became an heir of the righteous, which is by faith. He did this by faith. We know, we go back to that verse in Genesis, Noah did. He could have said, well, I believe this, Lord, but I don't think I'm going to start on it yet, or I'm not sure I want to do this, and it could have been all kind of excuses. Noah did. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20, now I want you to notice here, we went from Hebrews to Peter. Here's Peter writing about Noah. And this if you think about it, Peter gave the first gospel sermon in Acts chapter 2. And here he's bringing Noah up and trying to parallel some things that Noah did with what's going on in the New Testament, the gospel, which sometimes were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah. God was patient with people, trying to get them to change. While the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. I put that in a different color. I wanted you to notice that. We're saved by water. Well, what do you mean? Well, Noah's family was saved by the water when they got in the boat. But at the same time, the water was destroying the wickedness of the world. So the water saved Noah, but it actually destroyed the world. Now, this goes on with the next verse. Peter speaking here about it. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. I've talked to many people about baptism. If you look at the different churches and denominations of this day, you'll find almost all of them preach some of the gospel. But it is difficult to find one that preaches all the gospel. This is one of the things that's left out. I have people tell me baptism doesn't save you. I have relatives that will tell me, oh, you believe in that water baptism. Peter believed in water baptism. Jesus Christ, when he went down to the Jordan to be baptized by John, walked from where he was in Galilee down to the lower Jordan. And there was two ways to go at that time. One way would have been 90 miles, and the other way was over 100. After he walked down there to be baptized to fulfill all righteousness, not the same reason we're baptized, but to feel it was the right thing to do. God spoke, what did he say? This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Was that important that that was done? Now Peter says that baptism doth also now save us. That's the, and not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When you are baptized, you're reenacting that death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And as Christ told Nicodemus in chapter 3 of John, you're going to be born again. You come up out of that water a new person. And that's the in Romans, it talks about being buried in Christ. 1 Peter 3:22, who has gone into heaven. Now this is talking about the authority for this. Christ has gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. That's, we must stick with the teachings of Jesus Christ and the teachings of the apostle. In 2 Peter 2:5, it reads, and spared not the old world. The old world was destroyed. There was the only thing that was left alive in the human part was Noah and his families. Eight people. And what's it say about Noah there? A preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. The wickedness of the world would be destroyed, and that's going to happen again someday. This is where I got this information from. I wanted to give them credit. It was from house to house. And it, like I said, it was a little short article, and I worked on it for quite a while. But that gives us the information here. I'd like to go back to this drawing of the spiritual church. How do you get into the church? Well, from the gospel, if we look at John 6:45, we have to hear the gospel. Next thing that happens is you got to believe it, like Noah believed God. Do we believe the gospel that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Then repent. That's something you don't hear very much being preached today. We have to repent, change our lives, and not live that sinful life. We have to live walking in the light of Christ, following his teachings, the teachings of the apostles. And then we confess our belief in that before other people, that we believe in God. And finally, baptized. That Mark 16:16, that's from the lips of Jesus. Those that are baptized will be saved. I don't know how we can make that any plainer. I don't know how he could. So that is the steps in getting into God's spiritual house. God wants a people, but he wants a people that strive to be holy. We're not going to be perfect. We're going to sin, and we're going to have to come to him and ask for forgiveness. But we can do the best we can. The one football coach that made the statement was that we try for perfection and just hope that by following perfection, we will gain excellence, if I can get that out. That's what we need to do as Christians. We're not going to be perfect, but then don't use that as an excuse. We should be the best we can for God. We have a holy God. He will not tolerate sin, and we have to separate ourselves from sin. So that's our lesson this morning, and I've worked and worked on this, trying to keep the time down on it. I'll tell you, I don't want to tell you how many minutes this could have been if I get talking, but that's our lesson this morning. If you're here and you understand what it means to obey the gospel, then we can make that happen this morning, that you become a child of God. If you're here and you just need the prayers of the church, this is a good time for that as well. Anything that we pray for you. If you please stand and sing, we'll be singing, Prepare to Meet Thy God. Noah prepared, so let's be prepared as well.
Careless soul, why will you linger? Why drink from the fold of God? Hear you not the invitation? Oh, prepare to meet thy God. Careless souls, oh, be the morning, for your life will soon be gone.
Fine lesson this morning and the effort he put forth, and appreciate it. You will turn to 174. 174. Let's prepare our minds to take the Lord's Supper. as we do each Lord's Day.
When we meet in the sweet communion, where the feast divine is spread, hearts are brought in closer union, while partaking of the bread. Precious feast, all else surpassing, wondrous love for you and me. While we feast, Christ gently whispers, do this in my memory. God so loved, what wondrous measure, loved and gave the best of heaven, bought us with that matchless treasure, paid for us, his life was given. Precious feast, all else surpassing, wondrous love for you and me. While we feast, Christ gently whispers, do this in my memory. Feast divine, all else surpassing, precious blood for you and me. While we sup, Christ gently whispers, do this in my memory. Precious feast, all else surpassing, wondrous love for you and me. While we feast, Christ gently whispers, do this in my memory.
Does anybody need the Lord's Supper pack? This morning, we come and we surround this table in remembrance of what Christ did for us upon the cross. Just like the song that Brother Tom just had us do, you know, you read that song that says in there, it says, when we meet in sweet communion, where the feast divided is spread, hearts are broken, closer union, while partaking of the bread. God so loved that wondrous measure, loved and gave the best of heaven, brought us with that priceless treasure. Yet for us, this life was given. His life was given. Feast divine, all else surpassing, precious blood for you and me, while you gently whispers, do this in my memory. That's what we do up on the first day of the week when we come and surround this table. We do this in memory of Christ when he went to the cross. And Christ is actually, you know, he's given us in scripture, telling us that we're to do this up on the first day of the week. And I like to turn to Mark chapter 14 and read verses 22 through 25. That's Mark chapter 14, verses 22 through 25. And as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed it, broke it, and gave to them, and said, take, eat, this is my body. He took the cup, when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until the day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God. You know, God has given us this emblems here to remember up on the first day of the week. Like the bread represents his body that was taken up on the cross. And the fruit of the vine represents the blood that he shed upon the cross for all of us. Let's go to God in prayer and give thanks for the bread. Our Father in heaven, we'd like to thank you for letting us be able to come here this morning and be able to surround this table in remembrance of what Christ did for us upon the cross. Bless this bread for its intended purpose. All this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go to God and give thanks for the fruit of the vine. Our Father in heaven, we'd like to continue our thanks and being able to say thank you for letting us be able to be here this morning and surround this table and then partake of the fruit of the vine to represent your blood that was shed upon the cross. Bless it for its intended purpose. All this in Jesus' name. Amen. Also separate and apart is the offering. We're commanded to do that also upon the first day of the week and give back for what we've been prospered for the church. Let's go to God in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we know that everything that we have and we see and everything like that, we know that all comes from you. And we know that's through the work that you've done and showed us that there is you. We like to, for what we've been prospered, for what we've been, for the work of the church, all is in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning, church. Nice to see everybody out today. We have a beautiful day to enjoy. And then, unfortunately, it won't be too long, and there'll be some white stuff out there. And I don't even want to think about that stuff. No. Snow is a dirty four-letter word. Depressed. I don't know why I'm giving you such a depressing thought today, but I'm sorry about that. I should know better. Get a bulletin, a lot of information in here this morning. A lot of things going on around about us. Friday, there will be a Friday night sing down at Pennsville. Several different, Norval Park has a summer series on Wednesdays. Here's one of the kind of I feel important, very important thing. Card shower for Dave Hall. The address is here in the bulletin. I'm sure Dave would greatly appreciate a card. Keep Dave and Rose in your prayers and thoughts. There are so many of our number who have been ill. Some people here this morning who are not feeling well. Keep them in your prayers and your thoughts. Seemed like there's something else I was supposed to announce and I cannot remember it. So is there anything that I don't know about, should know about? Our number's down a little bit today, but we're still here. And that's a good thing.
Daryl will be here next week, I think.
Yep, Daryl will be here next week.
Ernie, we're going to want to host a patio race. We had one earlier.
Yep. Okay, that'll be September 21st, yeah.
Because like last year, we got the neighborhood cats and animal all came and joined in too, so.
Anything else? No, Brother Jim will lead us in prayer.
Please stand if you're able. Almighty Heavenly Father, our God, the creator of all things that are in existence, we know that you, from the studies we've done on Wednesday night, that you provide for us, that you watch over us, in your creation, and you want the best for us. We pray, Father, this morning for all those that were able to be out, that you'd be with them as they go about their day and watch over them. We pray for those that were not able to be here and would like to have been here, that you might bring them back to a sufficient health that they can be with us again. And especially Brother Dave, we know that the great things that he has ahead of him, that you might give him strength and courage to go through them. We pray, Father, that we might always look to help others and do the good that we can do with them. We ask forgiveness of our sins, Father. Help us to be better and stronger in the future in our service to thee. I'm so thankful for your love and the love of Christ that he was willing to come here on earth and show us how to live and be the sacrifice for our sins, Father. We pray, Father, that we are willing to share this with others, that we might show the love of Christ round about us to one another and to those about us. And now as we go to our homes and different places this day, keep us safe. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.